You know, anybody that's lost should be pitied, amen. We shouldn't want anybody to go to hell. And some people I really don't like very much, and they're mean as snakes, but God loves them, God will save them if they'll come to Him. Amen. But hell is an awful, awful place. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Amen. If you died tonight, you wouldn't go to hell. You'd go to heaven. Go to be with the Lord. That's wonderful. I mean, what greater treasure could you have tonight than knowing you're saved, knowing you're a child of God? Nothing in the world. Well, let's go to Psalm 3. Psalm chapter 3. And tonight, the message is about comfort, having comfort in a time of trouble. Comfort in a time of difficulty, a time of trouble. The background of this psalm is when David was fleeing Absalom. You remember who Absalom was. Absalom was his son. And his son had turned on him. You know, that had to hurt David. Now, I know David knew that he had brought some of that on himself. But at the same time, he was a father who loved his boy. And that was tough on him. And there was insurrection because of Absalom. And he had to flee. He had to run out of his palace, out of the town, across the stream that was nearby, and on out into the darkness of the night. And people turned on him. And so this psalm is written, of course, the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, to make us think about, I believe, some of the trials that we go through, and to remember that God is always there with us, no matter what we face, that we have comfort. It's available to us when we go through the trials of life. Well, that was David's dilemma, and we can see many of those principles as they relate to us. In verses 1 and 2, he records for us some of the problems. He said, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me?" We might say it like this: "Lord, there sure are a bunch of people out there that are troubling me. There are really a lot of them now. There wasn't so many at one time, but boy, there are a lot of people right now, and they're troubling me. Many are they that rise up against me." That's what David was experiencing. "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." And then the little word Selah, which maybe have a musical connotation, but I think it really means to us, stop and think about it. Meditate on what he had just said. And what he was saying was, a lot of people have turned against me. So who had turned against him? We've already said that Absalom turned against him. But you know, when somebody turns against you, they influence somebody else, don't they? Always they influence some other people. And so Ahithophel had been a very, very close friend of David's. He had been his advisor. He loved him, and they had a great friendship and camaraderie. And you know, I have some friends. I told my wife, I've got two real close friends, and both of them are sort of ill. I hope they don't die before me. I'd like to keep some friends, but I hope I have more than that. But at any rate, there's a closeness there. Isn't it great that you can, you know, you can just know you have a friend and you can call them and talk to them and spend some time with them? Well, Ahithophel and David were like that. But now Ahithophel turns on David. And then the soldiers that David had led into battle many times begin to turn on him. And then some of his key generals that were military men that had looked up to David, and David had put him in positions of great authority, and they had turned on him, and it really hurt him. We have problems sometimes too, don't we? Somebody has said troubles always come in flocks. It seems that way sometimes. How many of you ever said this? When it rains, it pours. Raise your hand. Have you ever said that? And what are you talking about? Usually it's not the weather. It's the problems, isn't it? You know, a tire blows out and you walk in the house and the stove elements burn out, and then you turn the air conditioner on to cool off and that thing starts clanking. And then you say, My goodness, when it rains, it pours. Some of you had a day like that today. I would imagine that some of you may have had a day like that today. Certainly, it probably hadn't been too long ago. We say, well, if it isn't one thing, then it's another. What do we mean by that? We mean we got trouble. If it isn't one thing, if that didn't happen, something else is going to happen. And we ask the question many times, what's next? I wonder what's next. Because we're just human beings. And then a lot of times we say, I just see no end to it. This is almost hopeless. And then some people say, yeah, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. But guess what? It's a choo-choo train. It's fixing to run over me. We feel that way sometimes, don't we? And we have troubles, and we're human. Mom just died. Husband walked out on me. Wife walked out on me. Teenage daughter's pregnant, out of wedlock, in trouble. Vice versa. We have all kinds of problems that come in our life. Financial problems. And just about the time you think, well, we're just about to get a little bit in the bank, everything blows up and you got to go take that out and spend it. And you, as hard as you try to get some savings, you can't. Some can. But anyway, sometimes you just feel that way. Well, he had some afflictions and we have problems. And we go through those problems. A lot of you tonight, if we could have a testimony meeting, you'd be honest about it. You'd come up here, and if I'd say, let's come up here, if you have a problem, you have something that's burdening your heart, and you don't mind talking about it, a lot of us would spill our hearts out, and a lot of folks would be surprised at the problems that are going on tonight. You think the guy or the woman or somebody in front of you, behind you, or next to you doesn't have any problems. You just don't know. You just don't know. And yet they're there. But he also had annoying enemies. And look at what they said to him. Verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. God's not going to help you, David. David probably thought again of the sin he had sinned, perhaps. But that was hurtful to him. God doesn't care about you, David. You've messed up. You've blown it. Things are going bad for you. And where's God? Do you ever feel that way? You just be honest about it. There are times that you might have wondered, well, now just where is God? I wish he'd show up here in a little bit. Thank God he always does, but there are those times for a while, and they were saying to him, God's left you. And Satan fights like that, doesn't he? We have Satan, who is a roaring lion, our enemy, seeking whom he may devour. Has he bugged you any today? He has me. Seeking whom he may devour, like a roaring mad lion. He wants to destroy you and me as God's children. Sometimes the enemy would be the mate. Sometimes it's the parents. Sometimes it's a friend. All those different things come in our lives. Problems upon problems. So what do? David had some problems. Look at verse 4. We talk about problems and now we see the prayer. He said, I cried. If they're going to cry against me, I'm going to do the right thing. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. It's all right to pray quietly in private, and sometimes in public, rather calmly. But you know, there are those times we just need to cry out unto God. I mean, just get alone somewhere away from anything and everybody and cry unto the Lord. And he cried out with his voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. God's on his holy throne. Don't ever think he hadn't. Isn't it amazing that God hears us? We look at the stars and the planets, and earth is little old bitty like a marble, and the sun's, would say, like a basketball compared to the earth. And then there are stars out there so big you could put hundreds of suns in. And then there's the Milky Way, and there are galaxies and all of that out there. And yet God can hear us talk. Isn't that great? That fascinates me. And I don't ever want to forget that when I pray, God hears me. And I wonder, who in the world am I that God's going to hear me? And how can God hear all of these Baptists here tonight praying at one time? You know, that is no problem to God. That's why he's God, and we're just finite. He's infinite, and we're little bitty We can't understand it all, but I believe the book, don't you? And if we pray, thank God He hears our prayers. And He begins to appeal to God. Now, most of us would do something called worry. Baptists like to worry. Some. Christians like to worry. And a lot of times our first line of action is worry, 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 worry. And then say, oh, maybe I ought to pray about it. You know, we'll worry a month or a week or maybe even for hours. And then we'll pray about it. Now, worry is not a spiritual thing, folks. It is taught as a sin in the Bible. Amen or oh me? It's taught as not good in the Bible. Worrying is not the will of God. And we have a prayer-hearing God like David. And we have a prayer-answering God like David. If God would hear David, God will hear you. Because He's no respecter of persons. Whenever prayer leads the caravan, whenever prayer is out in front and leads the caravan, in due time, deliverance always comes up in the rear, always brings up the rear. We can know that because prayer ought to be first in our life. Now remember, sometimes God answers in different ways, but He always answers. Sometimes He says yes. If He thinks it's the best thing and the right thing and the good thing and brings Him the greatest glory, He'll say yes. Sometimes He says no. I'm glad He says no sometimes. I can think of some of the times that I wanted Him to say yes. I can think of some of the girls I might have married because I wanted God to say yes. I sure am glad He didn't. Some of you look like you're not so sure He did. I'm not. But at any rate, aren't you glad sometimes He says no? And we don't like that at the time. But how many times have you gone down a few miles down the road and turned around and said, whew, man, I'm glad God said no. I would be in a mess. I would be in a predicament. And we could give you a lot of illustrations. You know your own. And sometimes God says, just wait a little while. I want to test you. I want to see if your faith is really what it's supposed to be. I want to be sure that you understand your motive has got to be right and all of those things. But God answers our prayers. We have a God-hearing, God-answering, prayer-answering God. There's no question about it. He does that. Well, then I see another principle here, and that is faith in verses 3, 5, and 6. I would call that piety, if we want to keep with the alliteration. Piety, faith, belief. In verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. He said, I got all these problems, but you're a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. That's a beautiful verse. He said, God, I know I got all these enemies out there, all of them, all around me, and yet you're my shield. And I'm told, I'm not a Greek or a Hebrew scholar or anything like that, but in reading and studying some of this, I'm told by those who are the experts that what he's saying is that when he's talking about his shield, the wording is that it's all around him. Amen. Shields him from the frontal attack and from the back and from the sides and over his head and under his feet, that there's a shield that is all encompassing. And that's what he's saying. God is all around me. He is my shield. And I have the armor and I have the arm of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my shield. He's my glory. You know, we don't have to get to heaven before we experience a little bit of the glory of God. And one of the most glorious things you and I will ever have to do in this life, honestly, is to have fellowship of suffering. Did you know that's a privilege? And it is to our glory that we can suffer with the Lord Jesus Christ because we will reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is our glory. And he says the Lord is my glory, not only in that sense, but he's the one that ought to get the glory. And he is the lifter up of mine head. Amen. Did you know body and soul go together? And if your emotions, your soul, your spirit, whatever you want to call it, is broken, your face is usually going to show it. And the body and the soul goes together. Your demeanor, many times, is set by what's going on in your heart. whether you're depressed or whether you're down under the circumstances or whatever it is. And we put on those fake faces and those non-genuine smiles sometimes, and I guess that's all right. But most people who are around you very long know whether you've got the joy of the Lord or not. Amen. And sometimes we really don't have the joy of the Lord. And so he's talking about the Lord being his protection. That gave him faith. That gave him assurance. He said, I know who God is. He's my protector. And when I'm down, he comes by and he lifts up my head. See, when you're down, your head goes down with it too, usually. But he said, I'm going to lift your head up, David. And he knew that he was able to do that. And so he depended on it. Well, look at verse 5. David, I like what he did. I laid me down and slept. Amen? I guess that must be why a lot of people do that while I'm preaching. They trust me like David trusted God. I was teaching a course the other day out at the college, and one of the students right in front of me went to sleep, and I asked him a question, and he woke up and he said, I don't know the answer. I said, no, you're asleep. How can you know the answer? You know. But David, now he should have been worrying. He should have been nervous. He should have been upset. But what does he do? What does this turkey do? You know, he goes to sleep. He says, well, it's time to get some rest. You wonder, how in the world could he sleep? In an open field, under the stars perhaps, or maybe in a cave. But he said, I am going to sleep. You know what that is? That's faith. He said, I'm not going to worry about it. You stay up and worry about it if you want to, but I'm not going to. He wasn't up on his tiptoes and walking around, fretting, being concerned with all of that, watching for the enemy. He slept in the midst of trouble. And that's another promise God gives us in Psalm 127, verse 3, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Then listen to what he says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Amen. He gives his beloved sleep. Now, it's not a sleep of presumption. It's not a careless sleep. If the soldier is supposed to be awake, he's supposed to be awake. Amen. If the watchman is supposed to be on guard, he's supposed to be on guard and awake. But in a case like this, in the context like this, when it's talking about problems and enemies and worrying and all the things that we face, then David said, it's time to go to bed and just trust God. Amen. Because he's going to be there when I wake up in the morning. That's what I would call holy confidence. Do we have it tonight? Do we have it tonight? Do we have holy confidence? Do we really trust God about tonight, tomorrow, the rest of our lives? We ought to have holy confidence. And then David isn't awed by anybody. In verse 6, and you may think this is brag of a strong man, but that's not the way David meant it. He's talking about the power of God. He's bragging on God. Look at what he said. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. David said, I'm not going to be afraid of 10,000. You think he was bragging, but he was bragging on Jesus. He's bragging on the power of God. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about going to battle with confidence. He's talking about God having no loopholes. Everything is against me. The enemy everywhere. But I'm not afraid. Sometimes it seems like everything begins to cave in on you, Christian. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of 10,000 problems. Don't be afraid of all of those. Just go to battle with confidence. And that's what he said he was going to do. Well, all of that, David is bound to be praising God for some reason. And he does that in verses 7 through 8. The praise of God. In verse 7, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Now I said to you earlier, we have an enemy. And how does the Bible present him? As a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Amen. But a lion with a broken jaw and no teeth isn't going to hurt you too much. You know that? Sort of takes the fear out of it, doesn't it? And that's exactly what he said. And he's looking back. He said, God's done it before. God has taken that old roaring lion and slapped him upside his jaw, broke his jaw, knocked all of his teeth out, and said, how do you like that, king of the beast? How do you like that, devil? The devil thought he had Job all whipped, didn't he? But he didn't. And God broke the teeth out of the lion and broke his jaw. And when Job came out of the trial, he was doubly blessed. God gave him two wives. No, I don't think that would be appropriate there. But he was doubly blessed. And God blessed him after he came out of all those trials that he had. He said, I believe God is going to take care of it. Do you know you and I have a right to look to God for deliverance? Amen. We're His children. We have a right to look to God. And do you know it pleases the Father that we depend on Him, that we ask Him for things, that He can help us? He is our Heavenly Father. And He likes for us to call on Him and have a relationship with Him and be close to Him and be intimate with Him. That doesn't bother God. See, we can all gather up at one time. Still doesn't bother God. He likes it. And so we have a right for deliverance. And we hopefully you have tonight, and I have certainly, we ought to have some testimonies of all the years, and the more years you've lived, the more testimonies you ought to have. And you ought to be able to turn around and look back and say, God took care of the lion there, and He took care of the enemy there, and He took care of the problem there, and He took care of this situation over here, and God's going to do it again. Amen. God's always there. And if you want to worry and fret and be miserable and all of that and keep your head hanging down, that's your business. That's between you and God. But that isn't God's will for us. We've got to get above our circumstances. Amen. And then He gives us an argument from both testaments about what's important. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Amen. Now, He's talking about saving him from those circumstances, but it goes out further, and it's talking about, as you and I would know, redemption comes from the Lord. Now, what do the opponents say? What do the enemies say? It's baptismal regeneration. It's joining the church. It's your good works. It's your good deeds. You meet people all the time who are in opposition to the simple gospel of how to be saved by redeeming grace through Jesus Christ. And they want to tell you they're getting saved by their goodness and by their works, and that's how they're going to keep saved. That isn't how it works, is it? David said it again. Help, salvation, getting me out of this predicament, and especially out of the sin predicament, belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. That's a promise we have from Almighty God. And then the little word Selah again. Stop and think about what he just said for a little while. Baptism, self-effort, the church, all these things are the opponents of the truth. We face it all the time. But thank God he calls. Amen. And then he quickens. And by his grace, he saves and he keeps us saved. And I'm glad we have a no-soul salvation. We can't lose it. You cannot lose it. You're going to heaven, whether you like it or not, and I think you like it. Romans 9:16, so then, it is not of him that willeth. That's pretty strong, isn't it? It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's how you got it, that's how I got it, and that's how I'm going to keep it. It's the mercy of Almighty God. And we are blessed. Before we ever crowned, before we ever get to heavenly glory, we are blessed by God in this life with these promises. We know, according to David, that God is there, and he is our source of comfort and strength and help when we're going through all of these difficulties and problems that we face in life. Let me ask you something tonight. What are you facing? What are you facing tonight that's troublesome? What are you facing in your life that you don't like, that you wish was not there? And I'll tell you, sooner or later, you're going to face some of those things. You're going to weep. You're going to cry. Tears are going to stream down your cheeks, and you'll wonder how you could cry so much so long. It'll come. If it hadn't come already, it will come. But friend, it may seem impossible, but God's there. And we just have to believe that. David remembered that God was there. David, in spite of his problems, called on God. And God will help me, and God will help you, and God will protect us, just like he did David. And God will give us rest when it seems like we should worry. And God will give the victory. Amen? And he did give David the victory. We have a help in a time of trouble. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful psalm. And this was allowed in David's life, and David went through these problems. But oh, what joyous principles we see. Oh, what admonitions from heaven's throne to us through this psalm. That even though we have troubles and heartaches and disappointments and problems, God, that if we'll just get on our knees and trust you and pray and have faith and believe that you can take care of all of the enemies that we have. You can take our enemies and break their jaws and knock their teeth out. You can render them powerless. And oh God, help us to cast all of our cares upon you tonight because you care for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. And thank you that you're there. Help us to understand what we have and to take advantage of this great privilege of looking to you in a time of sorrow, in a time of disappointment, in a time of hurt, in a time of trial. And we know that you will not let us down. In Jesus' name we pray.